adjourn for this afternoon.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Let us pray. O creating, redeeming, and guiding Lord, we begin this Arroyo Grande City Council meeting thanking you for the blessings of this land and this people. Give to our counselors your inspiration as they bear the many issues and make the often tough decisions for our city. Protect them from cynicism and special interest pressures. Open their eyes and hearts to the least among us as well as to the successful. May they govern in fairness and justice, just as you so lead us. All this we humbly and thankfully ask in your holy and precious name. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. Well, Andrew, don't sit down just yet. It's been a while since Toastmaster has been here to lead our flag salute, and we would love to hear what the club is up to. So would you like to say a few words about Toastmaster?
Thank you. So South County Presenters, we meet in this very room Tuesday at 7 a.m. It's a one-hour meeting. Basically, it's a good group of guys that get together. It's a supportive opportunity to learn to speak in front of a group of people. So that's it.
Okay. Yeah. Well, thank you very much for being here, and we hope you'll join us again.
Thank you. Good.
Okay, moving on to agenda item 5 is agenda review. 5A are closed session announcements. The council did meet in closed session on July 9th. That was our last regularly scheduled meeting, and we discussed three separate labor issues, and the council took no reportable action. 5B, move that all ordinances presented for introduction or adoption be read in title only and all further readings be waived.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Discussion? Hearing none. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion carries. Item 6, special presentations. We have none this evening. Item 7, community comments and suggestions. This is an opportunity for members of the public to come forward with any observations, recommendations, comments with regard to items not on this evening's agenda. The Brown Act restricts the council from taking any action on matters not on the agenda. We would ask that you keep your comments brief, 3 minutes or less. Please address the council as one body. Anyone who would like to come forward, once again, items not on this evening's agenda. Okay, seeing none, we'll close community comments and suggestions, and that will take us to agenda item 8, which is our consent agenda. And if you're following along, we're going to be addressing consent items 8A through 8L. This is also a situation where the council takes the consent items in one motion. We approve the consent item, the consent agenda, in one motion unless there is an item on consent that a member of the council would like to pull for individual action, further clarification, or discussion. This is also an opportunity, once again, for members of the public to come forward and comment on any of the consent items. And I would like to invite any member of the public who would like to come forward at this time. Once again, consent items 8A through 8L. Anyone? Seeing no one, we'll close public comment on the consent agenda. We'll bring this to the council. What is the will of the council this evening? Any items to pull? Okay, no items to pull. I'll entertain a motion to approve consent items 8A through 8L.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? David, anything to read in there this evening? Okay, nothing to read. A roll call, please.
Councilmember Brown?
Yes.
Councilmember Ray?
Yes.
Councilmember Guthrie?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Costello?
Yes.
Mayor Ferrara?
Yes. That takes us to item 9, public hearings. 9A is a consideration of the reallocation of our community development block grant funds from projects approved through years 2008 through 2012. Once again, this is a reallocation of CDBG money. Kelly and Teresa.
evening, Council. Get myself situated here. So the Community Development Block Grant Program, or the CDBG, provides federal funding to address a wide range of community development needs. The city has been a participant in G funds to the Soto Sports Complex Accessibility Project. The city recently received the design for this project, and construction should start this fall. Completion of the project is then expected to occur in April of next year, which is well before the June deadline. The staff report lists previously approved projects and their current balances that staff recommends be reallocated to fund the removal of architectural barriers for the Soto Sports Complex. A total of $92,793 would be from already existing architectural barrier removal projects. $18,489 from administration and expired contracts. And then $34,222 from code enforcement, facade improvements, and one economic development project. The administrative reallocations are considered minor amendments according to HUD, and the City Council reallocations are considered major amendments and therefore require City Council approval by resolution. So in total, staff recommends that $145,504 be reallocated to the Soto Sports Complex Accessibility Project. Just so you know, the 2013 CDBG allocations that Council approved last February remain untouched. The improvements for the project will include disabled accessible routes from the parking lot on Ash Street to Volunteer Field. More specifically, the project will include disabled access from Porter Field dugout to the existing concrete service at Volunteer Field. Disabled access path improvements next to the existing concessions and restroom structure, and parking area modifications for disabled parking compliance. This is an overall conceptual design that is really hard to see, but I do have full-size plans if you would like to look at them. In conclusion, the reallocation of CDBG funds for this project provides access for people with disabilities to a heavily used facility within our community and meets CDBG criteria. Approving the reallocation also closes out balances for previous CDBG program years and aids the Urban County in meeting the CDBG timeliness and probationary requirements. Therefore, staff recommends that Council adopt a resolution approving the reallocation of CDBG funds for program years 2008 to 2012 for the purpose of funding the removal of architectural barriers at Soto. I'd be happy to answer some questions.
Any questions for Kelly? Okay, Councilmember Brown.
Thank you. Can you first of all go over why we're in this position, and that I'm trying to figure out for the public's interest what projects weren't funded that should have been funded, and secondly, given that you showed $18,000 in administrative costs that actually weren't used because the funds weren't used, I'm trying to figure out if we could reallocate those to some of the public service people that come before us, and because we had a heart-wrenching hard time the last time we had these different community groups that wanted to come before us. It's a two-part question. My first is, what is it we didn't fund? And number two, can we use at least some of those administrative fees that weren't used before to fund some of the groups that are so needy and so come before us on multiple occasions?
Well, I can answer the second question first. We cannot go back for public services and fund previous projects. We can look at the next year's allocation 2014, we'll be looking at having our workshops probably in September, October. Deadline is probably going to be in late October. The reasons for not spending the funds previously kind of depends on what projects exactly you're talking about. For the ADA projects, that's where the majority of the money actually is coming from. Those were like general ADA projects. There was no specific projects listed except for the leftover allocation for Short Street restrooms. I know that the city has been working on prioritizing ADA ramps and whatnot throughout the city, and what fell out of that was the Soto Sports Complex.
I guess my question and my concern is that at the time we did it,
procedural spending caps in different categories. You may recall the public services have that, I believe it's a 15% cap on what we can allocate to those programs and folks who come up before you each year when you guys are allocating out CDBG money. So if we get $100,000, you know, only a 15% of that can go to those causes. So that's the hard part because, you know, those are the folks that usually show up, and that's where we'd love to fund more of them, but we can't due to restrictions in the HUD programs. Secondly, always that we receive less and less money each year, so less and less of that money gets to go to those causes, and that's, you know, that makes it even more difficult. But as regards the reallocations here before you, several of these we did fund. We estimated a pot of money and we didn't spend that entire pot of money. So this is a lot of this is leftover monies that were not spent, just due to the estimated amounts. Others, again, as Kelly mentioned, were put into a projected category for architectural barrier removal. We had some ideas of where we're going to do curb ramps or other ADA obstruction removals or restrooms, for example. And some of those came to fruition, and some, for whatever reason, didn't. And at this point, we're anxious to reallocate that money and put it toward the Soto project because it does... clearly meet the objectives in the CDBG program, and especially in that architectural barrier category.
Okay, but you have $18,000 in administrative costs for the prior years that were not spent. Do you anticipate spending that $18,000 for administrative costs now?
So we had $9,000 left of the left over from spent administrative monies, and again, we allocated the amount of administrative money we thought we might have to spend, and this is a heavily we rely on the county to some extent, and the county has been billing us, and we've been spending money, our administrative funds, in that manner. And prior to that, we spent it ourselves and documented our time. We just didn't spend the amount we thought we might spend. So we are very conservative in those original estimates.
Thank you.
Councilmember Brown, I just wanted to add on those concerns are things that we've talked about too, and we are going to be making some adjustments. As Teresa mentioned, the administrative costs, we've been pretty consistently coming under. These last couple of years, we weren't really sure because we were transitioning to doing it differently. I wasn't sure what the impact of that would be when the county took that over. Now that we have numbers to compare to, we'll probably be recommending a significant reduction or elimination there in the future. If you look at code enforcement, that's another one that on an ongoing basis we have not been spending that money. So the next round we're going to be significantly reducing or eliminating that. Facade enhancements, we have some money left over there. That one's a little trickier because the last couple of rounds we haven't used it all, but we have two or three businesses we're actually working with, and we've tried to keep that money in play because if we can work that out, it's available. So we'll reevaluate that. Maybe there'll be a reduction, but that's kind of a case-by-case basis based on specifically what we have going on. And then the last one is the ADA barrier projects. The problem is those projects are always so large that sometimes, just by their very nature, it takes a couple cycles to get the money we need to do a project. But I think your comment or suggestion would be a good one coming forward. I think we can do a better job of identifying the priority project when you appropriate the funds, and then in advance be able to maybe indicate to you that this project may take 2 years or 3 years and project out in the future, so you know in advance, you know, if this is going to be a multi-year project.
I guess my and last comment, Mr. Mayor, is that I think we need to let the public know that this money wasn't allocated willy-nilly, that there was a goal behind it, and we need to be able to tell the public what we're doing with their funds. And we could have done a better job of identifying the projects and letting them know that, yeah, it's not going to happen right now, but it will happen. So those are my comments, Mr.
Okay. All right, thanks. I have a couple of questions. Kelly or Teresa, could you elaborate on if we have money left over and what you're proposing to do with this reallocated money? Is there an opportunity for us to put more money back into the Short Street restroom project?
I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, I thought the Short Street restroom project was complete.
That project had several different funding pots. This was one of those.
Okay, wait a second. Are we talking about the rehabilitation of the existing restroom?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right. Okay. I was hoping we were talking about the proposed restroom in Heritage Square Park.
Let's see. Yeah.
That's another story.
That's another story, and we would have to look carefully at eligibility of that project for these funds as an architectural barrier removal.
Okay. I'll make a few comments on that when we get to council communication. Any other questions, clarifications? All right. This is a public hearing. Any member of the audience who would like to come forward on 9A, this would be an opportunity. Anyone? Okay. Seeing no one, we will bring this back to the council, and we'll start with Councilmember Ray.
Thank you. I think the best thing for me to say here is that I see it a little bit differently than Councilmember Brown, and in that if we were, for the most part, doing these projects and coming in under budget, essentially, and these are leftover monies in most cases, then I think what we're showing the public is that we're being really good stewards of taxpayer money. And even though this is federal funds and this isn't coming out of local monies, it's still taxpayer money. And by our good stewardship, we're able to leverage this money and roll it forward and get even more bang for the buck than we originally intended to get. So when we're talking about either leftover unspent monies or that we were able to efficiently administer these programs, then we're able to really roll these monies forward and do even more good with them. So I'm all for doing this. I think that this just shows the effort of good work that our staff does, and I'm all for in the affirmative for this tonight.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Guthrie.
Yeah, well, I'm too all in favor of doing this tonight. I'll take kind of a middle position, just point out that we should have flagged these so that we were doing this earlier. We really shouldn't be up here against a deadline like this. Not that a year away. A year away seems like plenty of time. That is my one concern, is are we going to get this done by June of next year? It seems like very doable, but we really should flag these. This is the second time I've been here where we've had to reallocate because we didn't follow through earlier. I would point out for the public that none of these funds are actually funds that were allocated to nonprofits and are now being reallocated somewhere else. Last time that was the case. In fact, there was a lot of money from the nonprofits that we couldn't reallocate. So these are all these were all meant to be physical improvements of one nature or another, except for the admin. But and I'll also point out that the other thing that we've done is by going to the single giving all of the money to a single group, we've actually reduced admin as low as it possibly can be. So I think we'll see an even lower number next year than if you're using numbers for guidelines. So I think I'm very much in favor of this. I mean, otherwise it's kind of use it or lose it. And it's just my concern is that we really do need to pay attention to these grants. We were up against the deadline with the sidewalk grant for whatever that street is up there. Montego, yeah, we're up against that deadline as well. So this is something that maybe we need to calendar and flag to make sure that we don't sometime lose this kind of money. And anyway, I'm very much in favor of reallocating this evening.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think I've made most of my comments other than to say I agree with Councilman Guthrie. I've never thought of this staff as being somebody that doesn't keep track of money or waste money. I just think it's a matter of, like you said, flagging it to make sure we do it on a timely manner. I don't want to be put in a position where we're on probation to getting funds that we're going to need in future years because we didn't flag things the way that we should have. All these things are worthy of being done. There's no question. It's just a matter of dealing with the bureaucracy of it and countering it in such a way that we don't get put in this position again. Ms. Ray is right. I think we do a good job of not spending money that we're not supposed to spend, but in this case, I don't think that...
Well, it kind of depends on the year that you're talking about and what kind of projects we have going. For instance, when we had the elevator, we certainly spent some money there, and that was a needed project. But every year is different. It just didn't seem to come into fruition to have a large architectural barrier removal project. That's where most of the money is located until now. So as far as checks and balances, I guess we can come to council with a status report at some designated time.
Okay. Sounds good. I'm just curious as to whether this is something that's easy for us to monitor or if it's something that's really complex and not as easy as it seems.
County good
on. Actually, the county administration's helped quite a bit. I was just going to add that, as you know, we're going through a pretty comprehensive review of all our processes right now, so this will fit right into that. As you can see, there's a lot of individual issues, and so I think what we'll be doing is putting together a committee and look at the entire process and definitely come up with some tangible recommendations for you to see that the process can be much better in the future.
Thank you, and as I say, I'll support this tonight.
Okay, thank you for your comments. Well, I'm relatively comfortable with this process, and the reason why is because when we all know during the whole process of CDBG, when they're in front of us, we make our best effort to allocate in support of projects that we know are coming forth, but they may not be completely developed in terms of cost analyses and estimates and so on and so forth. So, you know, we take our best shot at trying to understand what the costs associated with each of those projects are going to be. Sometimes it's more, sometimes it's less. So I'm happy that there's flexibility in the process that allows us to come back and essentially bat cleanup. And that's what we're doing here through this reallocation process. That's the flexible part of the program that I like. The part of the program that I don't like is the inflexibility that we have to shift funds between categories. And I think that's what Councilmember Brown was sort of looking at. It would be nice for those organizations in need, if we could slide some of that money over to them. But clearly the establishing of the criteria that governs whether we can do that or not is out of our hands. So the program is flexible, that it allows us to utilize the money in total through the reallocation process. It's inflexible at times because it doesn't allow us to really use it as we deem necessary. But in terms of tonight's action, I'm fine with it, and I think we're doing the best we can with what we have. So I'll support it as well. And with that, I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Mayor, I move we adopt the resolution of the City Council of the City of Rio Grande approving the reallocation of Community Development Block Grant, CDBG, funds from certain projects approved in years 2008 through 2012 to fund the removal of an architectural barriers at the Soto Sports Complex at 1275 Ash Street.
Second. We have a motion and we have a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, roll call, please.
Mayor Pro Tem Costello?
Yes.
Councilmember Brown?
Yes.
Councilmember Ray?
Yes.
Councilmember Guthrie?
Yes.
And Mayor Farrar?
Yes.
Mayor Farrar, before we move on, I wanted to talk real quickly regarding this last one about a side conversation that I had with Steve in...
About what?
About the CDBG funds.
Oh, okay.
I was going to save it to council comments, but I think it's more appropriate here.
Sure,
and what we spoke about was kind of piggybacking on what Councilmember Guthrie and Brown said, that, you know, Councilmember Brown rightly shudders when we think about the allocation of these funds. It's just heart-wrenching every year. And Councilmember Guthrie spoke about how we've sort of taken to the idea that we need to just really choose one, and that's the really bottom line of it. So my suggestion was that we might take a look at kind of pre-prioritizing how we want to fund that going into the next cycle so that we can announce that to possible recipients, so that we don't get a whole bunch of people putting a whole bunch of work into this and then we can only award to one. So I asked him to maybe as we go forward, before we get to that spot, we can all as a council discuss that and put that out there to the public first. And that will make the process hopefully less heart-wrenching for everyone involved. So that's not direction to do.
The tree program and some partners that we have in our community who have really helped us, and that's the Tree Guild, and that's been a wonderful partner in planting additional trees in our town. I'm real proud of the effort that we've made in my short period here and the number of trees that have been planted, and the city's maintenance and enforcement of tree ordinances and really does show in our community. I did scatter a few photos on the slide presentation tonight of trees that are in Rio Grande, and this is a one that's particularly interesting. It's a coastal live oak that is on over in the neighborhood of Hillcrest and Sierra Vista, and it's quite impressive. The coastal live oaks have incredible structures, trunk structures, and this one is quite unique. I also wanted to acknowledge Pete McClure, who is our city arborist and one of our park maintenance workers. He's been invaluable in managing and helping maintain our city's inventory of trees, as well as the Rio Grande in Bloom program that has been instrumental in planting trees throughout town. Community Tree Program was established for these particular reasons: to preserve and maintain and regenerate the regeneration of all trees, a beautiful and aesthetically pleasing community, trees or groves of unique or historic value, and wildlife, which is the Landmark Tree Program. Actually, in the code, it does ask that staff come back periodically and update the Landmark Tree Program, so I'm in the process of evaluating the condition of all of our landmark trees, and we'll be coming back to the Park and Rec Commission and the Planning Commission at a later date with an update on our landmark tree program, and then educational programs that address the environmental benefits of trees, and improved communication between the various commissions regarding tree-related issues, and those are identified specifically in our tree program as protection measures that we wish to promote. Community tree program regulates specific trees. One is the coastal live oaks, which have a diameter breast height, or DBH, of 12 inches or greater in the single-family residential zones. And then, in addition, all trees in the following zones are regulated under the community tree program: commercial zones, multifamily zones, and mixed-use zones. In addition, landmark trees have a special regulation as well. This particular tree is over off of Alder. It's one that I drive by frequently, and I just find to be an interesting tree. Benefits of the recommended changes tonight are primarily administrative in nature and kind of housekeeping based on some changes that have taken place in staffing. The title changes and administrative revisions, again, they'll reflect the responsibilities of city personnel following the 2012 reorganization when Doug Perrin left and city manager reorganized some of Doug's duties. The management of the tree program was placed under Public Works. And so a lot of these changes will reflect the changes in that reorganization. Public Works will have the oversight, or has currently the oversight, of tree evaluation. And again, that's done primarily by myself and Pete McClure, our arborist, and street tree maintenance, repair of damaged infrastructure caused by street trees. In fact, we just finished a project just 2 weeks ago where we did a number of street tree sidewalk repairs, and we're getting ready to go out to bid on another. So making tremendous progress on that front as well. And then coordination with community groups. Overall improvements of staff resources when now Public Works has the direction of all the tree programs, it's easy to direct and manage the crews that oversee the maintenance of the trees. Options for the recommended amendments are to obviously introduce the ordinance, do not introduce the ordinance, recommend additional modification to the community tree program. I would note that there has been some discussion at the Tree Guild level about the potential reduction in the size of the oak tree diameter breast height that would be regulated. Right now it is currently 12 inches, and that's quite a large tree, and a tree in the 6 to 8 inch neighborhood can be a tree that is almost decades old. So that has been discussed at in that area. The trees are very healthy, and that's one of the challenges, is we have a very healthy inventory of street trees in our community, and as they grow larger, obviously they cause some damage to our sidewalks. So several were completed in the area of the hospital on Halcyon, as well as a few on South Elm. We've also completed some projects in neighborhoods. However, primarily the neighborhood projects we complete in-house through our staff, because there's lower traffic volumes. It's a little safer for our staff since we have a smaller crew. And so that's been the primary areas. I'd be happy to put together a list and send that out of all the specific locations that have been repaired. Interesting note, it's in the trees' roots. We just recently dug up a water line that was in the center of South Elm, across from the shopping center. The tree root had gone about 50 feet into the center of the road and snapped a water line, and we had a water break. And so it's quite extensive sometimes, the length of the roots and the damage that they can cause. But we have been making great progress. We'll continue to make great progress. You'll see the grinder, the person who comes in and does sidewalk slicing. He'll be in town the end of August, so that's another way we manage some of those trip hazards as well.
I would appreciate any time you can let the public know what you're doing so they have a better idea. I mean, when we talk in general terms, they're not really sure where you're talking about. You know, and I probably know, but I'm not sure they know. And it's important to know what you're doing, because I think they would appreciate it. The only other clarification I have to ask, I wasn't clear on your last comments regarding 6-inch trees versus 12-inch trees. I'm not clear whether you're asking for a change on that or what you're...
We are not asking. Our recommendation tonight is not to make any changes to the diameter, breast height of the oak trees that are managed. That is an option. I mention that because it has been brought up by the Tree Guild in the past. And so that is not a recommendation tonight. In fact, staff managing our tree program is a pretty significant effort in terms of staff time. Expansion of the number of and types of regulated trees would have an direct impact on staff, and oaks are pretty prominent throughout town, and so that would have a negative impact on staff resources. Great. So we're not making that recommendation tonight.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Any other questions? I have a question, Jeff. Can you tell me where we are or whether or not we've completed the tree inventory?
Yes, the tree inventory is complete and has been complete for some time, and we use that as a great management tool now. Curtis Johnson and Pete McClure, two employees in our Public Works Department, do utilize that on a regular basis. They list trees that have been removed. They list trees that have been planted and add additional trees that the Tree Guild plants, as well as city staff. So that's an ongoing and useful tool that we have in our inventory and is active now.
Well, the reason why I'm asking is that obviously we've been a Tree City USA recipient forever.
32 years.
Three decades or so. But I understand there's an even higher award that the Arbor Day Foundation gives out to those cities who have completed their tree inventory. I believe that's the criteria. So when we make our application next year for Tree City USA, can we make sure that the Arbor Day Foundation understands that we have a working tree inventory in place and see if we can't get that super special award?
I was not aware of that award, but we will find out and absolutely apply.
I can't recall what it's label they put on it, but I know that it's kind of above and beyond the Tree City USA award. So, okay, if there's nothing else, this is not a public hearing, but this is an opportunity for members of the public to come forward on this item. Anyone who would like to come forward on 11A? Okay, seeing no one, then we'll bring it back to the council, and we will start on my right with Councilmember Brown.
I'm ready to approve, Your Honor.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Guthrie?
I can approve this as well.
And Councilmember Ray?
I just want to echo what Jeff said about the people who do such good work in this city. There are just a tremendous... we've said
the ordinance?
The ordinance of the city of the... it says ordinance at the top of this.
Yeah. I think you did. I think he was...
It says an ordinance of the city council of the city of Roy Grandy. I think it's the only one in here.
I thought you did read it.
That's good enough. All right. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Guthrie? Mayor Pro Tem Costello?
Yes.
Councilmember Ray?
Yes.
Councilmember Brown?
Yes, indeed.
Mayor Farrar?
Yes. Okay, moving on to 11B, this is consideration of the First Amendment to the Affordable Housing and Loan Agreement with Cortland Street Apartments, LP, for financial assistance for the Cortland Street Affordable Housing Project. Before we start this item, I'd like to make an announcement that I'm going to have to step down on this particular item. My home is within 500 feet of the project location, and so I have a conflict of interest, and as such, Mayor Pro Tem will facilitate the discussion and any action taken on 11B. So I'm going to step down at this time.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Give you a moment to step down. And I believe, Steve, you have the report on this?
Yes.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Mayor Pro Tem and members of the council. As you know, the city's former redevelopment agency board of directors and then later the successor to the housing authority both approved agreements providing approximately $930,000 in financial assistance to the People's Self-Help Affordable Housing Project on Cortlandt Street. That project is now in development. However, bids have come in high, and they are now facing a budget shortfall of about $500,000. In our discussions, it appears that they've been able to address about $100,000 of that through some miscellaneous adjustments. They've tried to address about half the remaining shortfall through some design modifications that they proposed and received approval for through the ARC in order to reduce the cost of the projects. Staff is recommending that the City Council consider approving an additional $400,000 in financial assistance for this project. There's really two objectives of our recommendations. The first is to try to eliminate the need for the design modifications. It's not that we disagree with the ARC decision, but one of the primary reasons we selected People's Self-Help Housing for this project is that they do very high-quality projects. And so we want to do what we can to help ensure that we can get the highest quality, maintain the highest quality in this project as possible, and therefore if there's anything we can do with existing resources to help eliminate that need for those design changes and return to the original design, I think we all agree that that would be a preferable project. So within the agreement includes conditions that the developer would return the original design features to the project under the financial agreement, with the exception of a couple changes that they had proposed that both the ARC and staff agreed actually improve the project, so that those were left out in terms of the agreement of those that we wanted to return. The second objective is just to help ensure the success of the project. These are very difficult projects to finance. They're under very strict time scheduling deadlines given the restrictions from some of the funding sources, and therefore it's important that these projects go smoothly, and so we want to support that. At the same time, staff did not want to impact any of our other ongoing affordable housing efforts, and therefore we didn't want to use existing affordable housing funding that we have available. As a result, when the successor to the redevelopment agency received approval for repayment of a loan that had been made from the city's affordable housing in lieu fund to the redevelopment agency for the purchase of the Fay Street property, when DOF approved that loan repayment, to go back, staff proposed that a portion, it's about the total amount's about $830,000, we're proposing $400,000 of that. So a portion of funds we're proposing be provided to People's Self-Help Housing for this project when it becomes. I think it's also very important to point out that since the money originally came from the Affordable Housing and Luffy Fund, the money that will be repaid is restricted just for affordable housing purposes, and so there will be no impact from this recommendation on other general city resources or other general operational city needs. With that, the staff is respectfully recommending approval of the agreement. We do have a representative from People's Self-Help Housing here to answer any questions, or may want to make a brief statement, and then once again, we will be happy to answer any other questions that you have. We do not have the legal consultant here this evening. David could probably take some of the questions, but some of them are pretty technical to the person that drafted this. So if you have any technical agreement questions, we might have to come back to you.
Okay. I guess at this point, then, we'll ask if the representative from People's Health Help would like to say anything.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor Pro Tem and members of the council. So my name is Ken Trigero, and as you said, I'm from People's Self-Help Housing. I work in primarily on the financing for the project. I just wanted to take a brief second to thank you for considering this. This is such an important project for us and for the community. We know about the demand. We're pretty close with other properties in the city to understand that the need for affordable housing is great, of course. We're caught in a position here where these projects take several years to get going. We have to estimate all the costs up front, and activity in the building department industry is really picking up. That's the good news. But what we saw, even though we had all the major trades bid early on, several of those bidders walked away because they're getting so busy, and that's the nature of the game. We've since let all those contracts, so we're pretty clear that we've got a good number now. Likewise, we've brought in the investor on the private equity side. That's always a market negotiation, too, so we know we're able to bring in from the investor. And interest rates affects us, too, because part of our one of our sources, or two, I should say, are permanent loan portions. So that was a little bit limited on where we thought we would be, but we've got that firmed up and locked in. So we're pretty firm on where we stand now. But we really are relying on you to consider this, because there really aren't other sources these days for this kind of thing. So thanks in advance for considering this.
Okay, thank you. See if anybody has questions.
I do have.
Go ahead, Jim.
I just have a quick question. With the additional money here, are you going to be able to not have to make the adjustments in the facade and the other adjustments that are listed in here?
We will, with this additional funding, we'll be able to restore the project to its original approval state. Yeah, with some additional improvements, as characterized, I think, by staff.
And let me ask Steve: Are we then in this same motion? Are we going to overturn the decision of architectural review? Are they going to have to go back to architectural review and undo what they did?
Let me have Teresa correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think their approval nullified the earlier approval. It gave them permission to make these changes, but I think they still have the right to go back to the original the original design. Is that correct?
Sure, they can withdraw their request, if you will.
Thank you.
Okay. Councilmember Brown?
I have a number of questions, a couple for you and one for staff. And I'm so glad you're here. I hope your babies are well. Hey, so according to the staff report, or at least as I understood it, I heard two things that kind of surprised me. One is that it seemed like the money was going to be repaid within a very short period of time. And two, that if it wasn't repaid, that somehow the city wasn't on the hook. And that those are two things I find, both of those issues I find really hard to stomach or swallow. So just help me understand that portion of it.
Steve, do you want to take that first, and I'll reply on Farrar's side?
Yes, I think you're referring to the agreement that is being repaid from the City Affordable Housing and Luffy Fund lent money to the Redevelopment Agency to buy the Fay Street property. So that loan, now we've gotten an okay from DOF to repay that loan, but it's over a period because it comes from the tax increment money that otherwise we would no longer be getting. But when they sign off on that loan, it means we get a portion of that to make that payment.
So the Fay Street property actually takes 4 or 5 years to pay off.
Yes. Yeah. That'll be phased in, and then as that comes in, a portion, not the whole thing, we structured it so a portion would that's in them. We feel comfortable with the process now, but with DOF, you just never know. And so it was just some security put into the agreement that if they came up with some very unanticipated thing that for some reason we weren't getting that money, then the risk really transfers to People's Self-Help, which is where the risk would have been anyways if we wouldn't be helping them. So
just to kind of be more succinct, you're telling me that by loaning them this money, in the long run, we're not going to be on the risk if something happens. And number two, we still have a way of paying off the Faith Street property, even though it seems like we're using half of the money that was meant for that purpose for another purpose?
No, those. I only laugh because it's such a complicated thing. Not laughing at your question.
No, it's fine.
It's a good question. The property, the Faith Street property, will actually be sold, and that money will be that money will go be divided up amongst other tax entities that get property tax. So that's almost a separate thing. This money comes from tax increment, and they're saying that original loan that the city made to the agency to buy it, you're going to get to repay that, and that's going to come out of each, and that's why it takes a while, because each year, if there's a certain amount left over in tax increment money, we can put that on what's called our ROPS as an obligated payment, and then that'll gradually be paid off. But it has nothing to do with having to pay for that property. That property now no longer belongs. It belongs to the successor agency, and it'll be required to be sold, and that money will go somewhere else.
But we owe the money on the loan still.
We owe the money on the loan, and once again, the loan is to the city, and that from the agency. And so normally, if the agency was still in effect, the agency's revenues come from tax increment. Over time, we'd have to pay back that loan. What they're saying is, with the tax increment that's still being generated, we'll allow you now to take a portion of that and pay off that loan just as you would have otherwise.
So
the only difference is the property itself. We no longer control and do a development, and we have to sell that.
Despite the dissolving of the redevelopment agency and having that property as part of that whole thing, given the way they've decided to administer it, we're not going to be holding the bag, so to speak.
No, yeah, the money should come in, and this should all work perfectly. If it doesn't come in, if you want to use that phrase, they're going to be holding the bag. But we think that's pretty unlikely. I think they do too. Otherwise, they wouldn't be going into this. And then once again, we've been very conservative how we structured the loan repayments. So only a portion is going to people's self-help housing. We will have more money than that to do some other things. And we also scheduled the first payment consistent with actually the second repayment of the loan. So then if the money turns out to be a little less than we thought, we have that buffer there. So we've thought of a number of things to make sure this thing goes smoothly.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Councilmember Ray.
Yeah, on the repayment, if I'm reading this properly, and I am certainly no finance expert, the repayment term for this is 55 years. Is that correct?
Now you're speaking about the agreement with
the agreement with people's self-help housing. Yes, sorry.
Yeah, and this is where it gets into somewhat pretty legal technical language. Is most of these agreements are really intended as financial assistance, but they're set up as loans because to qualify for things like tax credits, they have to show debt. They get credit for showing debt. And so they're set up as loans. They're usually set up as what's referred to as tax, now I forgot the term, residual receipts loans, which as I understand it basically means that as the project goes forward, it's set up so it'll be a long, long time before we get repaid. It's whatever money's left over after all the other debts and costs are paid. So at some point, there'll probably be some repayment, but it's not set up so that there'll be much repayment from that loan, at least in the near future.
Okay. I understand that. I guess my question is, you said you expect that to be repaid sometime. Are we talking 5 years, 10 years, 20 years? What does that look like? Because we're encumbering a huge amount of funds for decades. I understand why it's structured that way in the way
replacement reserves, and there's different things that are fundraised up front, so the project operates well within the 15-year period. But what we like to do is then go back after 15 years and approach the investor, and this is through an agreement that's really negotiated up front, have the opportunity to buy them out and syndicate the property again, do improvements. Since you have a loan, you have a lien position, and that's your opportunity to decide what you want to do with that. So that's normally how it goes.
Okay, thank you for that. I appreciate that. That's it.
And then the question I'd have, Steve, would be, once that money is repaid, it still has to continue to be used for affordable housing projects.
Yes.
So it's always going to be locked into affordable housing projects. Okay. Well, okay, that's all for the questions. Anyone from the public want to address us on this issue? Seeing no one, I'll bring this back and bring it to the council. We'll start with Jim Guthrie.
Yeah, I'm certainly in favor of following through on this. It's certainly, this is going to be a signature project. It's going to be a highly visible project, and anything we can do to improve it and to make it the project that we expected it to be, I think is worthwhile. So I'm certainly in favor of this evening. I would just as a sort of under comment, we keep referring to the city's, you know, but it's really a set-aside fund, as you noted. We keep referring to the city getting repaid and the city loaning the money out or giving the money out. But it really is a separate fund. It's not like it's coming from the general fund or anything. I think that's really more important for the public to understand. We keep referring to the city, but it really is a sort of a fund within the city. It's a lot easier when we had the RDA to refer to, but we don't anymore. So, anyway, I'm certainly in favor of this evening.
Thank you. Councilmember Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I agree with Mr. Guthrie's comments. I'm very excited to see this project come forward. I'm a little bit dismayed that this kind of cost increase came forward. That's surprising in some ways and not in some ways. But in any case, as long as we can make it work and we're not further encumbered with Fay Street or we can make it work, I'm okay with it.
Okay, thank you. And Councilmember Ray.
I have to say I'm really struggling with this. So I'm coming at it from a different point of view, and why I'm struggling is because recently we approved another use of funds in the same range of about $500,000 that enabled another project to go through. And if I have to choose between projects like that or facade improvements, you know, I took a really good look at that ARC level decision, and I was pretty comfortable with that and spoke with ARC about that. And I understand why we're recommending we're doing what we're doing, but if I've got to trade between this and more affordable housing in Arroyo Grande, I apologize, but I'm not in support of using the funds for this, though it pains me to say that. I really was comfortable with the decision that ARC made, and this is so much money that could be used on another project. I'm sorry. I really want you to know how much I know that this is going to be a great project in any case with people's self-help, and I don't mean to say I don't support it. In fact, I support it so much I'd like to see more of it. So I'm sorry that I'm not going to support this tonight.
Thank you. And I will support this tonight. We've been working on this for quite a while. I think it's an appropriate use of the funds. It's going to regenerate more dollars to come back into the affordable housing process as the engine keeps going. So I'll support this, and with that I'll ask for a motion.
I'll move that we approve the First Amendment to the Affordable Housing Loan Agreement with Cortland Street Apartments Limited Partnership to provide an additional $400,000 of financial assistance for the Cortland Street Affordable Housing Project.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Is there any more discussion? Seeing none, could we have a vote, please?
Councilmember Guthrie?
Yes.
Councilmember Brown?
Yes.
Councilmember Ray?
No.
And Mayor Pro Tem Costello?
Yes. Thank you. Motion passes. I will ask the mayor to come back in.
Okay, I'm back, and thanks to the Mayor Pro Tem for seeing the council through the last item. And that will take us to item 12, City Council Member Items. We have none listed. City manager items, we have none. Council communication, any correspondence, comments from the council? Councilmember Ray.
I just wanted to let the community know that the EVC has partnered with the Community Environmental Council, and there's a program that's going to be coming forward in an informational day. The program is called Solarize Slow.
Historical Society, and you know, every other Sunday through the summer and into early September, I think, you know, we have anywhere from 250 to, you know, 450 people in that park. And I know that we've been discussing the restroom over there, putting a restroom in. And but I'd like kind of an update on that at some point, where we are with that. I can't tell you the number of people that keep coming up to us and asking us, you know, where's the closest public restroom? And, you know, we have two options. It's either the porta potty right by San Manuel Schoolhouse, or we have to have them walk all the way across a swinging bridge to get to the public restrooms over there. It's desperately needed. That park is getting more and more usage throughout the year with large crowds, and we don't have to get into it tonight, but I will chat with you. I had some very good discussions with the Historical Society on the placement of it. So that perhaps it's not encroaching so much into the turf area. So I'd like us to stay on top of that if we can, and keep it moving forward.
Yeah, staff is still doing quite a bit of work on it and trying to get enough together for some fundraising efforts to start, and that's kind of where it is right now. We do have some other big priorities, so it's on the list, but not quite on the same part of some of the major projects we have going on right now. But okay. It is making progress.
All right. If there's no other council communications, staff communications, anything, Steve?
No, sir.
All right. That takes us to our final community comments and suggestions. We have no public in the audience at present, and so we will move to item 17, and this is our adjournment to closed session. And once again, no public present for public comment on closed session items. Just want to alert the public that we will be announcing any reportable action out of closed session at the next regularly scheduled council meeting. So the council will adjourn presently to closed session.